Well, all right, another week is upon us, and yes, another podcast now here at MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check out the website, MusicLifeMagazine.net. All the podcasts are there. It is MusicLifeMagazine.net/podcasts, and yes, they are all there. They're also available on iTunes and on SoundCloud. MusicLifeMagazine.net is a leader in the music industry. Tons of great articles. We have great contributors, people like Jim Barber, the legendary, the iconic Jim Barber, who has been a music journalist for many decades and has written many articles, many reviews, many band bios, etc. And that's available right here, musiclifemagazine.net. All right, let's get into this. This particular interview takes me to the East Coast of Canada. And I got this lead on a great blues artist, and I got it from none other than Eric Elper. That's right, that Eric Elper, who is a great PR guy out of Toronto, represents a lot of bands, and represents this gentleman. His name is Matt Anderson, and he just recorded an album, Matt Anderson and the Mellotones, live at Olympic Hall, and it was recorded at Halifax's Legendary Dance Hall and released May 26, 2018. We had a great conversation about the songs on the album, about playing with the Mellotones, and, you know, just what's coming up for Matt in 2018. He is predominantly, I think, a solo artist, plays a lot of acoustic shows, but with the Mellotones, they put this great album together again live at Olympic Hall. Stick around. Coming up next, it is Matt Anderson.
Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
All right, it's that time of the week again for the podcast show. Shane Christopher Neal here with Mr. Matt Anderson. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and we connected through your PR guy, Mr. Eric Elper, one of the finest, I might add, in the business, I got to tell you. You got some good people working for you.
Yeah, you're fantastic.
So let's start with this. You've come out with an album that you recorded live at Halifax's Legendary Dance Hall, and it was recorded this May. I want to talk about the album, but before we get there, how about just a real briefing on Matt Anderson and kind of how you got a quick start in music? I know you're a blues guy, although you ventured beyond blues, but we'll get into that. So give us a little bit of a background on you as we get started.
Sure thing. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a small town in Brunswick, and you know, my mom played piano in church and grandfather played fiddle. So it was all about music around with the family. So really it was more of a thing you just did. We never really thought about being musicians. You just kind of did it to fit in with the family more than anything. And I finished high school and went and sold vacuum cleaners for a little bit and made Pete the Pockets. And then was playing music on the weekends and started to get enough work to do it full time. And that was pretty much it. That was back in 2002, and I've been doing it full time since then.
And you know what? That's interesting, because the biggest challenge for an artist, as you know, is to do something that you love full time. And I checked out your videos. I checked out your bio. I mean, you've got some amazing shows. You play a ton of shows a year, man.
Yeah, I mean, this year we kind of laid off a little bit because we have a new album coming out next year. But yeah, it's usually I kind of work between 125, 150, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and that's a lot. So let's talk about this album that that you recorded. Now, why a live album and why now?
Well, we did that one back in 2016. I think actually it's been recorded, and we did it with the Mellotones, and we were just having a lot of fun, and we had two shows at home and thought, you know, for as easy as it is to set up the microphone and push record, just to see what came out of it. And we kind of forgot about it for a while, really, and then just listened back. We were still really happy with it, so I didn't put it out.
Okay, so this was recorded, because it came, I got the date here of May 26th, but that's when you released the album, but you're saying it was recorded before.
It was released in May, yeah.
Nice. And so why that? I've never been to that venue, but I assume it's a pretty iconic place.
Yeah, it's just an old dance hall in Halifax, a call. And, you know, they used to do a lot of dances and shows there and that kind of thing. So people still do shows there now. And it's just kind of a cool vibe. You know, it's kind of got a balcony around. And we did some video there as well. So it kind of made a cool place for, like, you know, a good stand-up kind of rock and roll show, I guess.
I was watching some interviews that you've done over the years, because it's what I do when I do my homework. You know, I want to kind of see a little bit about the path that you've taken. And how would you define, or when did you think that you became successful as a musician? Because you, we talked about it, you do it full time, right? So when was that moment where you say, you know what, I'm kind of, this is success for me?
I started doing it full time, really, for me. You know, you had to stop, when you have to perform, I didn't worry about the gigs as much. When I was doing the weekend thing, you kind of start to stress out, you know, through the weekend. You know, it kind of got to the point where if I didn't have work, I was confident enough the work would come eventually. So I guess that kind of felt good to know that I didn't have to sweat all the time, but I still like to be on the road a bunch. That's why I still do that many shows a year.
And on this album that you've done, tell me, I read here, the most drastic thing I could have done was this live album. Why do you say that?
From my usual show, because usually I do the solo thing, so going to the 10-piece band is pretty much as far away from the solo intimate shows.
And with the Mellotones, now, have you played with them, obviously, the last couple of years, but is this just, you know, a band that you pick up and play with once in a while? Because it's like a 10-piece band or something, isn't it?
Yeah, they've been a staple in Halifax for like 20 years. They're just, and we decided to do some shows that year with the horn section. And it kind of made sense just to hire the whole Mellotones. I mean, they've been a unit for a long time, so it was really cool to just step into what they were already doing. They didn't need to get a lot of people to get to know each other. They had their stuff all sorted out, so it was great for me that way. And you know, the guys were all really great to get along with, so it kind of made a lot of sense.
So the songs on this album obviously appeared on other albums. Do you have a favorite? Like, was there something that you recorded in this particular on this particular album and maybe went, you know what, I like that a lot better than when it appeared on the original album? Was there anything that surprised you about any of the songs that you did?
Doing Coal Mining Blues with the band like that was pretty great. The horns are really cool on there, and having the pedal steel was a lot of fun on that one. Also, our version of Ophelia, I just love that one. It features the horn section too, which is something, you know, I don't have any tunes in my album to have a, you know, four horn solo. It's just not something you really do on a recorded album. So it was really cool to have that, and there's a lot of energy too, I guess. You know, the guys all play great on that track.
So you still live in Eastern Canada, right? And
I do, yeah.
One of the questions I was mentioning, I was listening through some old interviews, and one of the questions that came up in a past interview was if you'd ever consider moving to, I guess, a different place, whether it's in the South, whether it's to a bigger market. Are you still satisfied with the answer that you gave Joan Gomeshi about 4 years ago, that it was, you know, Halifax and out on the East Coast, New Brunswick was the place to be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, it's the world's gotten a lot smaller. I mean, I could be in Toronto in, you know, an hour and a half, right? Get down to Nashville in two quick flights. So it's not really, I don't know if living where you live really makes a big of a difference as far as, you know, once you get going. I think starting out, sometimes it might have been cool to be in a bigger city, but at the same time, there's more stuff going on, so it might have never happened for me. So I've never really looked at where I lived as a hindrance, really, in any way.
So your tour dates are all through Canada here. I see that some are on the East Coast, and you go all the way to the West Coast. And you were just, I'm sorry I missed it, you were in Niagara-on-the-Lake, which is very close to me, at Jackson Triggs on the 19th of July. And yeah. And I had another commitment that day. I couldn't make it out. But I see you're back in Ontario here, in Ajax, in Huntsville, and playing Arts Fest as well in Waterdown. Do you have a place that you really love to play, or a place of the country that is very special for you?
It's always great to play around home, but I mean, there's a spot in Penticton, the Dream Cafe. I probably played 50 shows there. You know, that was one of my, when I was doing like more of that kind of scene, I was in there a lot. You know, we'd do nights of six or seven or eight nights in a row. It was just an amazing venue. And other than that, you know, this is going to be my first time doing the Waterdown Festival, so I'm really looking forward to that. Just, you know, a new venue is always cool, and a new festival. And yeah, you know, I'm pretty lucky to have played lots of amazing places, really.
So when you're playing on this tour, it's just you solo or a couple of guitars? Like, you're not playing with this 10-piece band, I take it, all over?
Nope, that tour is going to be just me solo.
Nice. And will you play shows with the Mellotones again?
Oh, absolutely. We just did a couple last week. You know, it's kind of tough to fly around with 10 people, and we need a crew, too. So there's 12 of us when we do that band, so it doesn't travel easy. I'll say it that way. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully they get to do more. I mean, it's always a lot of fun. The guys are great, and they have a lot of fun on stage, so I'm sure there'll be more of that coming up.
What advice would you give an artist, let's say, that is a little bit frustrated with where they're at as far as trying to get to where you are as a full-time musician? What kind of advice, besides maybe just the power of persistence, is there anything else that you kind of clinged on to and that got you to where you're at now?
That's really a big part of it, is play as much as you can. And that's still my philosophy. I mean, where I'm at in the industry, I'm not the kind of person who gets played on the radio a lot. So you've got to be able to get to people's faces and get the word of mouth going. So that's really it. I mean, play as many shows as you can. When you play a show, make sure you're playing good. You know, don't suck. Really, the big part of it. You know, go out and give it all, and really, you know, make sure people want to see you again. And I think a lot of people sit at home waiting for things to happen. That just doesn't happen.
And this will be my final question. Really, is people seem to really be into you from what I've seen from the live performances and all that. What is it about you that attracts this audience? You have charisma, you have a great voice, obviously, but why do you think these fans are just kind of like right into you, eh? And they've really bought into what you bring to the table.
I think doing a solo thing maybe has a lot to do with that. I think people can kind of relate to one guy and a guitar. You know, there's not a lot of people who sit at home, you know, have the opportunity to sit down and play with a bunch of musicians and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a little more accessible that way. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm like everybody's favorite uncle at parties. I'm not sure what it is, really.
So the album is Matt Anderson and the Melotones live at Olympic Hall. And where can people buy the album? They can obviously get it probably on Spotify, on iTunes, and all that.
Yep, any place you can get music, you should be able to find it.
And how do you socialize with people? Facebook, Twitter, maybe throw out some of those. Website?
Yeah, absolutely. Do the website's stubbyfingers.ca, and I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and yeah, those ones. Just try to keep up with being cool, really.
You are cool, man. Matt Anderson, thanks for your time. I hope I didn't take too much of it. I know you're traveling from place to place. And I always love when Eric or anybody really sends me a new artist that I've never heard of that I can kind of dive into, listen to their music, watch their videos, because I want you to know I'm a fan of yours now as well.
Awesome. Thanks very much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Matt. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Visit Shane on Facebook at Shane C. Neal Media Personality. On Instagram at ShaneCNeal.com.